Lord has been speaking to me about how much do we really believe the word that we hear? Have we believed the word so that it stirs us to excitement and to action? There's a certain amount of lethargy and sleepiness among the people of God. And it would seem that we're not excited about what we have. Now, I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying that, and giving the thought that God brings to me, that the word that we know, that the one that we have always preached, the one that we know, let us go over them like the animal that chews its cud. Let us, right in this gathering, chew our cud together. And we want a response from everybody. We want to hear how you, if there's anything new that comes to you. For instance, the doctrine pertaining to the coming of Jesus Christ. Do we really believe that Jesus Christ is creeping up on us, gradually coming, and that one day suddenly he's going to arrive in some, and some will be out? If we do believe this, then what kind of people should we be? For the main fact of the people that we are, it shows that we don't really believe it. We believe it a little bit. I don't know how to explain that, Brother Craig, but if a person can believe a thing, and yes, it's all right, we believe it, and it doesn't go deep. It doesn't go deep to affect your life. Personally, I feel that God is saying to us that there's something we should do right now. I mean, not only in our own self, but physically, to prepare for that which is coming. And I believe that we should do. And I believe that is going to help us to do something else in the spirit. I believe we should be involved physically in the natural things that are preparation for God's coming. In other words, let me explain it to you. Suppose I said, I am coming tomorrow, and I'm bringing six people with me, right? You wouldn't wait till tomorrow when the guests arrive to go buy food, to prepare something to drink, you know what I mean? And to get things ready for space for them to sleep. You would do all that, and it wouldn't be carnal. It would be because you believe that they are coming. But if you say you believe that they are coming, and up to the ninth hour, you buy nothing at the store, you do make no preparation, you don't go to your neighbors and said, well, help me with this, or you know what I mean? It means that you really have a doubt, you know, and there's a shadow in your belief. Now, let us look first at the scripture pertaining to the coming of Jesus Christ in us and outside of us. And let us look at the time frame in which God put it. And let us search and find all these scriptures. And if I miss one, I'm going to expect you to say, what about such and such a scripture? And then we'll find it. And then I want to talk to you about the preparation, both in the spirit as well as in the natural. Because God said, if you believe it, what manner of men ought you to be? See what I mean? Suppose I believe that Jesus Christ is coming anytime now. And I go out there and hawking up all the deals I can get on the stock market. And I'm hawking up everything, and I'm spending my time involved in certain pursuits What does that mean to you, looking on? I don't really believe he's coming. See what I mean? But if I prepare, because we understand that there's going to be a time of trouble. See, it's not just Jesus coming like that, but there's going to be a time of trouble. A time when the Christians will have to stand. If I believe this, then I will begin to encourage others to have faith in the things that we believe. For let me tell you, there's nothing more dreadful than for you to lose faith in God when you are in a crisis situation. You understand? To lose faith in God in a crisis situation. And we need to really push our roots deep down so that we don't have the slightest chance of failing when we should be standing. Okay, where do we start now? Do you want to start with the scriptures about the coming of Jesus Christ in the air? Okay, who can give me the first scripture? All right, maybe said Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And somebody read that for me as you get it. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's from verse what? Say 15.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
I believe that the last two phrases are the most important ones to point us to what is really going to happen. Because you know, there's a controversy about this. A controversy. I gotta speak American. And that we are going to be, that the church teaches that we are going to be caught up in the air and we're going away. And we're going to be with the Lord up there. And then he's going to come down and bring us back after the earth is burnt and cleansed. Now, do you in your heart really know what this verse means? Can you say it is not going to be so? That we're going to go up in the air and fly away with the Lord. What makes you so sure that this verse does not say we're going to fly away with the Lord? Can anyone answer me that? Okay. This word, air. Look up for air for me, brother. In your concordance, you have vine there. I don't think he deals with it at all. Look up for air. And in the Greek, and look it for it in this passage. And while he looks for it, let me explain something to you. That, do you remember scripture which says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air? Where you find that? Can you remember that? Can you pick that up? Can you pick that up? Prince of the power of the air. If you want to find the meaning of any specific word, you must look up the word in other passages. All right, Ephesians 2:2. Read that for me, please. And brother, look in the concordance on the air at Ephesians 2:2 and at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17 and see if both of them are the same reference number. Read that for me, somebody, please.
Which in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Now, if Satan is a prince of the power of the air, then the word air must mean a spiritual realm. Because we know where Satan is boss. And so, if that word air means a spiritual realm, then it's possible that this word air over here might mean a spiritual realm also. See? You understand? And I believe it is the same word.
It's the same word being used. Same reference.
Same reference, okay. And it's A-E-R in the Greek. And what does Mr. Strong say about it? All right. If we then can see that, we will trace the word now and see if we find any other reference in the scriptures about air that refers to spirit. I'm teaching you how to really get into your Bible and to understand what the Bible is saying rather than to have that shadowy, well, Brother Dusil says so. You know what I mean. You need to find out for yourself what it is saying. Now, if you turn your Bibles back to Ezekiel, and you remember the passage of the dry bones? Is 37?
37? It's A-E-R here.
Yes.
Breathe unconsciously, respire, blow.
Yes, yes, go ahead. It has another reference there. You see, because, quiet, it has two meanings now. Go ahead.
We'll compare this with 5:5:4:9.
You see, it refers to breathe, air, and it refers to the atmosphere which is below the height of the mountain. And it refers to a realm of the spirit. Yes? Okay, while Brother Craig look at that, we look at Ezekiel 37. And we're going to see the same word, but it's in the Hebrew now, and yes, again he said unto me, verse 4, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And it goes on till then verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, or to the air. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So if you took that word breath out there, you would see that it's referring to spirit. You see, spirit or life come into them. And we see God breathed the breath of life into man, and man became. So even then Jesus breathed upon the brethren and said, receive ye the Spirit. So it was an issuance of God. So we then see, you have anything to tell us, dear brother, about the air?
No, this still is pretty much breath, voluntary but gently.
Yeah.
And then
look for Prince of the Power of the Air. Is it the same word?
The same word. And,
It could not just refer to breath, because Satan couldn't be called the prince of the power of the breath. See, the air was referring to a spiritual realm. And most of these things, to find what you need, you have to search for it. And when you search and you're not satisfied, keep searching until you find where it shows the whole meaning of the word. Now, we see that passage then. We want to look at another. If we understand then that this passage means that we're going to be caught up spiritually, caught up in a spiritual realm, then we will begin to understand the truth. But you must find truth in the Word of God before you can believe it. See, although someone say so, it has to be shown in the Word of God. We were reading something the other night about which spoke of the catching up as being a spiritual lifting up. If you take Revelation, we didn't take that, but take Revelation, and you see in chapter 12 there, where the man child was caught up. See? Verse 5 says, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. He was to rule the nations here, yet he was caught up. See, there was another place to suggest. Yes, and down, you go right down to verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's the man-child, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So if he was gone in a rapture, how would he have been here fighting the devil? See, so there is again another proof that the caught up is a spiritual lifting up. There again, in 2 Corinthians 12, what verse is it? 2, read that for us.
I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such a one caught up to their temple.
Quite. You see, Paul was caught up to the third heaven, yet as far as we know, he was still here. See, so it's going to have to be a spiritual lifting up and not a taking away physically to another realm. You turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, Jesus Christ had just been taken away up into the sky, and a cloud came over him, and he disappeared. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So he didn't go until he got smaller and smaller until he disappeared. He just lifted up above their head, and a spiritual cloud came over him, and he just disappeared into the cloud. So we have to understand that it wasn't a natural cloud. It was a spiritual thing that happened. Jesus Christ entered into the heavenlies. All right. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. That's two angels. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. That means there's a physical return of Jesus Christ. The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come, the same way as he disappeared into a cloud, he will appear out of a cloud. See what I mean? Shall be come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You saw him go into heaven. He went into a cloud and disappeared. You're going to see him come out of a cloud again and appear. See. Now, all right. So we're getting our gospel straightened out. Jesus Christ is coming back physically. We are not going to be raptured. That's not what the scripture said in the physical, but we are going to be raptured in the spiritual. We are going to undergo a spiritual rapture, a change. You see, okay, let's go to what Paul said about that in 1 Corinthians 15. And somebody read the 50th. Somebody read the 50th verse for me.
Now this I say, brother, that flesh and blood cannot enter, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Yes. Now, you understand then that he's talking about a physical change, that we will be changed from the natural physical to the spiritual physical. Can you see that? He said that we will not all die, but whether we die or whether we live, we're going to be changed. Huh. And there is something very interesting and peculiar about that. Are we then, because we are alive, are we going to go before or have number one position? You see, quite.
That we that are alive shall not be.
Not go before those that are asleep. So what's going to happen then?
He will bring together all things.
Bring together those who are dead and asleep and those who are alive at the same time. All of a sudden, click, you'll change, and your body will change from a natural body. You won't suffer one more minute of hunger. You see, because immediately your body changes, and you will be feeding on heavenly energy. The peculiar part about this body that you have here is that it's a dual purpose body. Did you know that? That your body can live on spiritual things. You remember Daniel in the not in the lion's den, but Daniel with the time when he decided to eat only bread and water while the others eat the big food and drink the king's wine, and he was he was better physically fatter and everything than they. All right, it was spiritual energy that he was feeding on. And you see, God shows me that the difference between one thing and the other is because sometimes we won't believe, we don't really believe it, or else we would be able to be sufficed by it. If you start believing it, that you do draw energy from God, your body is made in a way that it can use either spiritual energy or physical energy. I don't know if you noticed what happened in the Olympics, that everybody was concentrating. The trainers are now training the people to concentrate on what they want. And you see a man would stand up there for a full minute or two, concentrating and making his jump or making his run. And in what has happened is that they've broken almost all the records. That means human endeavor is increasing. Little do those boys know that they, as human beings, can do twice or more what they are doing. It looked impossible for a man to jump 28 feet, but the day will come when he jumps 50 feet by his mental powers. See, and the most of the effort that was made there, you can see the determination and the effort that the people made. It was more mental force. Of course, they had to have the physical to be able to run, but it was the mental force that carried them one notch further than the human physical would have gone. So I want you to look now then, how is the resurrection going to be, or the change, because that is the resurrection. Are we going to say all change one time? Are all the Christians going to change one time? Now, take the same 1 Corinthians 15 and somebody read verses 22 and 23 for me.
For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming.
Good. Now in verse 22, they take verse 22 and they make a heresy out of it. They say, there you are. The Bible said everybody is going to be made alive. That means all men will be saved. It's not what it says. It says all who are in Christ. Now, if you understand that Christ is in Christians, but it's not all Christians who are in Christ. For Christ to be in you, it means that you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you have some Christians who don't have Christ in them. Then you have the Christians who have Christ in them. Then you have the Christians who not only have Christ in them, but they are in Christ. And those are the few. It is few people who are under the headship and the guidance of Christ that Christ will lead them and tell them what to do. You understand? It is not many Christians who are like that. And we should strive every morning you get up to be under the total leadership of Christ. And if Christ knows that if you feel to move the shoe, you're going to move it because you believe it's Christ, then God will protect your feeling, and when you do feel it, it will be Christ. So you have to be practiced how to obey Christ and how to hear Him. But first of all, you must desire it. See what I mean? Not only desire it, but believe it. You just believe it and desire it and go out in the morning and you get a suggestion and you do it because you believe it is Christ. If the suggestion don't come from God, God's going to stop you. Because He knows you genuinely want to obey Christ. And you don't have to sin. And you can go for days and days and days without sinning. Not sin. It is the yielding to temptation that is sin. So no matter how you're tempted to do that wrong, and you said no, and you don't do it, you have not sinned. So, but the 23rd verse, what does it say? If you take out the word order there, and you put the word rank, anybody's Bible has a note beside it which says rank. Okay, the word here used is a Greek word which means military position, military rank, like a general or a lieutenant or corporal or sergeant or lance corporal, coming right down, you know, to the honor soldier. So what is it saying then? Every man in his own rank. So then he's explaining it. Christ, the first fruits. Now, do you think that Christ there means those who have Christ or those who are in Christ? Tell me what you think. What does that suggest to you? Christ, the first fruits.
Yes, the first fruits, those that are in Christ.
Those that are in Christ, because Christ is the body. Christ is the head and Christ is the body. So Christ is comprised of a head named Jesus and a body named you. Amen. So when you talk about Christ, it is those who are in Christ who will be the first resurrection. In other words, those who are in Christ, Christ will fill them with His fullness first. So there's no big secret. It's not hidden from us any longer as to who will be the first fruit. All those little old ladies and those little people who nobody know or care about in their little corner obeying Jesus Christ, those are the people who are the first fruits. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, it's no big shot. And God does His business in such a marvelous way that there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, of Christian teeth. Yes.
That's like when you get mad, right?
Yeah.
Like you gnash your teeth, you know?
You know what I mean. You see? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's going to be because the people are taking in the wrong doctrines and they're exalting them. I see them on the television and say, oh, what a wonderful thing. When we fly away, we'd all fly away. And they don't care about the Word of God and whether their motivations and the things they are doing is led of the Lord authorities of themselves. So many people don't care if it's God leading them or I doing my own thing. Oh, Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us to be led when we are led. For many of us are led of the Lord and we don't do it. God is showing us and we are just, you know, dull of hearing, you know, not moving as we ought to. You see, not moving as we ought to. And I'd say God is doing a thing in our midst right now. God told me, said, the monies you are sending to India to help the brethren, send monies and let them buy themselves animals, herd, that they can take care of themselves. For this money is not going to come all the while. And to help them from suffering, let them have something among the Christians that they will be able to help one another. See, when I'm doing that. But then the next step he come, he said, now what about the brethren here? What about these American brethren? Shouldn't they be coming together in a way and helping themselves in a way that they will not be dependent upon the world, but that we will be able to take care of our retired people? We'll be able to take care of our young people who really just waiting on God. A lot of them are just waiting on God. Say, Lord, what should I do? We who have the power of faith, huh? We who have the ability to suffer and to do for God should be doing that for them. You know, it hurts me so badly. So many people say they love other people. So many of us say we love one another. And so many of us have so much in the bank and in properties and in whatnot. I never consider, if I love these people, why don't I make a provision for them? You know, if I love my kids and I can't afford it, I'm making a provision for them to help them. Why don't I make a provision for you? Why don't so many of us who have the abilities? I've never seen more people with abilities and power than the people in the United States of America. We have the ability to do, and we're not doing. God's going to judge us for it. I am saying, if we believe, then what we are reading, and then it said, and afterwards, they that are Christ that is coming. If we believe what we are reading, we're going to act upon it. We're going to live as if we believe it. Yes. Instead of hoarding, we're going to use it to bless God's people and give them free and help them and strengthen them, that they may live. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So many on the street tonight. You know, it's really painful. It's really painful. So many on the street tonight don't even have some place to go. Yes. And we never make an effort to get them. And sometimes, well, we don't have the, you know, what it takes to help them. We'd love to, but we can't, because we have not been walking by what the Spirit is whispering in our ears. I feel that we should rise up and do what the Spirit is whispering in our hearts. For God is going to judge us for what He tells us. Amen. And so praise be to God. There's going to be then that change of the first fruit. But you notice here that it says Christ the first fruit. So it means that the first fruit was ready. They were already first fruit. They didn't wait until that moment they became first fruit. They were already first fruits. Let me tell you something. You can be first fruit right now. And the lid is lifted off the secrecy. There's no more secrecy. You are first fruits if you are obeying Jesus Christ. And if you are obeying Jesus Christ, I can trust my life into your hands. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about what you say. I don't have to worry about what you do. Because I know you're trusting Jesus. You're walking with Jesus. You're not going to harm me. And this is the new covenant that we see. The covenant seems to be getting more real to us. Real to us and our brother. Real to us so that there's no more any doubts between us. The doubts are removed from between us. As the strangest thing, as the doubt been removed from between you and Christ, Christ begin to show you people who the doubts removed between you and them also. Oh yes. People who will give their lives for you right away, you don't have to ask them. You know. And this is what God's doing. Oh yes. A brother wrote me. He said, Brother Lucille, I don't know you, but I am opening wide my place to you. He said, if ever you feel like coming, just be free. He said, whatever you want or desire, you just call and let me know, and if there's any way at all, you know. But that was the gist of the letter, just that. I don't know him. I've heard of him, but I've never seen him. Neither has he ever seen me. But the Spirit is bringing certain people together. Hallelujah. And this is what is happening. Praise be to God. Now, okay, so we see this then. If you get that firm in your understanding, let's go on to another scripture. Amen. Take Acts then, chapter 3. And somebody read verses 20 and 21. Verses 20-21.
And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began.
Okay. And God will send Jesus with. When is Jesus coming?
After all things are.
Yeah, restored. I want you to understand that very, 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 very carefully. Understand that Jesus is not coming here to restore things. The blood is going to finish the job.
Amen.
So that what we have today is what we're going to have to work with. Until it is restored. All things are restored. See, that until the time of the restoration of all things. Okay, you take Matthew then, chapter 24, and read verses 30. Say 29-30.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light.
Wait, stop. So we cannot be pre-trib. We cannot be pre-trib, believe that Jesus Christ is coming pre-trib. So when is Jesus coming? When man Jesus now? Immediately after the tribulation. Okay, go ahead.
And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken.
By way of footnote, I believe that the sun and the stars is the light of God and the sons of God that will be slain. Okay, go ahead. That's just my footnote.
And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then should all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven.
The people of the world shall what? See him. Now we're not talking about a spiritual vision. the people of the world shall see him as he appears. Yes, go ahead.
Son of man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Okay. All right. So that looks to me like a physical coming of Jesus Christ. No. There is something else here that you have to understand, that you have to divide now the coming of Jesus Christ into two, because there is a physical coming and there is a spiritual coming. Now let us look at the spiritual coming, because remember Acts and this chapter goes right along, said they shall see him in clouds. He said he went away in clouds and he's coming back again in clouds. And in Revelation it said, one section said that he came with the clouds of heaven. Okay. Now, you turn then to back to Peter. Second Peter, back to chapter 3. And you see another coming there. Okay? Read for me there from 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are in it, shall be burned up.
All right. If then he's coming as a thief in the night, you see it's going to have to be a different coming from the one when he's coming and every eye behold him. You see what I'm saying? It's so simple. I don't know how the theologians explain this, you know. But if he's coming as a thief in the night, it got to be a different coming. Okay, so turn your Bibles back to Matthew 24. And remember the questions were asked. What will be the sign of your coming? What will be the end of the world? And when will the temple be destroyed? You see? Okay. Now, we go back to Matthew 24. And you're looking, what, 35th verse? Read that for me, somebody, please.
Pass away, but my word shall not pass away. For that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Good. Now, go ahead.
For as in the days of Noah, that were drinking, that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Okay, let's hold on to that. You see that word took. It says the flood is going to take just as the flood came and took away the people, so it is that the coming of Jesus will be. So I asked one of the brothers who believed in the rapture, how does he know that this come and took them all away? It means destroy them all. And I said, how could you make that to be the rapture? He said, well, it took the people up in the ark. All right. Well, if you mark that verse, that's verse 39, and you turn to Luke 17, and read from verse 26. The thing is in verse 27 that I want to show you. But read the context from verse 26.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all.
Come on now. Hold this now. You see what I did with my Bible? I fold the middle piece in here so that I have verse 27 and I have verse 39 before me. And know not until the flood came. That's I'm reading from Matthew verse 39. Matthew 24 verse 39. And knew not until the flood came. Okay. Given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came. It sounds like both men were hearing the same thing from Jesus at the same time. Okay. And destroyed them all, said Luke. And said Matthew, and took them all. QED. Destroyed mean took. See what I'm saying? This is how you study your Bible. The answer to all your questions are in the Bible. See? The flood came and took them all. One translated the word destroyed. The other translated the word took. And that's the only difference. Okay. If we go on then, we see a peculiar thing in verse 42. Remember, Jesus is warning us about the coming of the Lord. Then he said, you must watch. And if you watch, you won't be taken. Read that for me, please.
Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the householder had known that one watch the thief would come, he would watch. And would not have allowed his house to be broken into.
Well, you notice that word thief come back again. In other words, the only thing I can see in that is a picture of Jesus showing up, someone creeping up on you. Creeping up on you. And I think that what Jesus is saying is that he's coming within us. As you open up, he's coming more and more and more, and one day he's going to arrive, and when he arrives, it will break loose something, and he will arrive in other human beings all over the world. I believe that what God is saying is that Jesus is coming right now. Okay, if you believe this to be so, then let us search it out. If you look at Matthew 16, if you read verses 27 and 28,
for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there are some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Now you notice, he specifically said, coming in his kingdom. That means there is a coming in his kingdom and there's a coming in the world. Let's find the coming in the kingdom then. Go back to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1. And read for me from 8 and 9.
In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power.
Verse 10, sir.
But he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among them was
to be. Now this is a very important passage. So Brother Charit, could you please take that Greek, you have a Greek New Testament. Find for me 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let us look at the Greek words and see if the Greek words say that he is coming inside of his saints. Remember, he said he's coming in his kingdom. And many of the theologians say he's among us, he's coming. See, but if you miss this truth, you're going to be missing a lot. And if you believe that Jesus is coming in here, you're going to prepare yourself and say, Lord Jesus Christ, this day, let me be ready for your coming. See what I mean? Because it is not the great and mighty, as I have said before. It is those poor, humble people who tremble at the word of God and who believe the word of God. Can you find it there for me, brother? And it's verse 10. When he shall...
Whenever, to be glorified in the saints of him, to be admired in all...
In the saints of him. Okay, let me see the word and let me read the Greek. For you, yes, you should be doing that now. It's as simple as ABC. Where are we talking from now? 9, 10. Whenever he comes to be glorified, all that is right, you know, perfect. There's no, it can't be changed. It couldn't be translated any other way. To be glorified. N-E-N. Tois. Agilois. His saints. The saints of him. That means to say, there's no way you could get around that scripture, that it is in. Okay, now I'm going to show you something else. You turn to Luke. Go back to Luke 17. And read the verse 21, and let me find it here in the Greek also. Luke 17.
Neither shall they say, lo here and lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
The kingdom of God is inside of you. But where did Jesus said he was coming? In his kingdom. So he meant to say he was coming in his saints. And I want everybody to see that. If you don't see it, let's discuss it a while so that you might see it as clearly as it is. I'm reading from the Greek and being questioned by the Pharisees. Verse 21. Nor will they say, behold, here or there. Behold, for the kingdom of God is within. And the word here is entos. Entos, meaning within you.
I've got a footnote in my book. It says entos. But it says in the midst.
Yes. Yeah, okay. The word entos there, the way it is put, where I'm looking at now, good. The way it is put within you, eumeon, mean you plural, it could be translated either within or among, within the midst of us or within the individual person. And you ask the writer of this book, and the writer of the King James translated it in, with inside of you. You know why? It's very simple. The promise is that he would come in you. I will walk in them, and I will talk in them, and I'll be in you, and I'll plant my spirit within you. You see what I, it's an in promise. And that's the authority for us to translate it within when it becomes ambiguous. Say praise be to God. So we need to understand these things so that we could even tell somebody else, this is why the Bible says so. Say praise be to God. And if you think you have the need of this tape, let us get you this tape, so that you can go over it and take notes and know it and understand it, why we are saying. Take that same Luke 17 and verse 23. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part of heaven, under heaven, shineth unto the other part, under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Now, nobody will be able to come to you and say, Jesus is here. You'll just laugh at him. If he even said he saw him down the street, you laugh at him. Because you know Jesus is coming in you first before he's going to see Jesus walking down the street. And so he said, as the lightning shineth in one part of heaven, extend to the other, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. You will definitely have a full first-hand knowledge of Christ's coming. Now, if you take then the parable of the 10 virgins, which is a parable that speaks of the coming of Jesus Christ, you will see that it says when he's coming. That it tells a time when Jesus is coming. First of all, it speaks in Matthew 24 that it will be a time of great peril. There's going to be great trouble in the earth. Fire is going to burn up the cities. Now, I want you to take a note of all these things I'm saying, because if I have to go in the Bible to prove, show you these things in the Bible. Fire is going to burn up the cities, and trouble is going to be in the earth. And when the midst of the trouble, Jesus will come. But Jesus will come when the devil has decided to destroy the world completely and kill all human beings. And Jesus will come in you to stop that from happening. Okay. Well, first of all, before we go to the 5 virgins then, let's read that to make sure that I am telling you the exact truth of the gospel. In Matthew 24, And in verse 9, let's go from verse 15. Remember now, Jesus is telling us what are the signs of his coming and the end of the world. The signs of his coming: when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now what is he saying here? He's saying that there are three churches. There is an outer court church, that's the people who are living, doing their own thing. They have Christ, accept Jesus as a savior, but they are doing their own thing. Then there's a holy place church who have not only received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but are under the headship of Jesus Christ. Then there is the Holy of Holies church, which is yet to come, when we will enter in to that fullness and be under the shadow of the Almighty. See, now, of course, you have people aspiring to that. Now, you have a fire to be lighted in the outer court. You remember that scripture? In the 11th chapter of Revelation, we are told that the outer court will be given to the Gentiles and that they should trample it on their feet. A fire will be lighted and the outer court will be completely destroyed. So there will be no outer court church left after the Gentiles finish stomping it. But something peculiar will happen, that those people who are in the outer court will flee into the holy place. Who are really genuine people of God, they will flee into the holy place, and this will be God's will, perfect will. But then when they flee into the holy place church, the holy place church will be under the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be reigning in the holy place church, and that will force the people of God to flee into the Holy of Holies. See what I mean? Now, this is what Jesus said. He said, anytime you see it begin. Now, you need to understand what is meant by the abomination of desolation. If I take the words abomination out, I take the word desolation out, and I use other English words that you can understand, the sin of destruction. The sin of destruction. What sin? What sin would you say is the sin of destruction? Let's guess here a little bit. You think it is fornication?
Rebellion.
It is rebellion. And the reason why the word rebellion even is, as we call it, rebellion, rebel, is because it is the name of the Antichrist. Baal, rebel. So the re before it is only saying that we are another Baal. And rebellion started in heaven when Satan, when Heliel, this bright angel, wanted to become Satan the adversary. And he rebelled against God. Pardon me. So we see rebellion then is the chief sin of destruction. Yeah. It is the chief sin of destruction. God said the earth was void and without form, destroyed in total chaos. And God looked over the edge of the hell abyss, or bottomless pit. I want you to see how words relate and what they are, and how you can understand And God said he looked over the edge of the bottomless pit, and he said, let there be light. Hallelujah. And God's spirit entered. And I want you to notice that when he said, let there be light, there was no sun. No sun, no moon, no stars. That means to say man wasn't yet born. He said, let there be light. And the Spirit of God moved, and the darkness fled away. Hell was driven back into another dimension. See what I'm saying? So this is what we're talking about. Now, where were we in Matthew 24? Yes, I was just reading what he said here. And he said, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And we see that as saying that if a man is out there doing certain work, and he's talking about return back into the holy place. See what I'm saying? He said when the Antichrist rise up in the holy place, don't go back. Now, so many people are saying to me, brother says, God put me in the church system to help those people in the church system. I am there doing a work. This is what it said. It said, if you see the Antichrist rise up in the church, he said, get out. He said, don't turn back. If you have work doing, you're in the field and some half done thing, you planted seeds, and you were to go back, you want to go back there to nurture them or to water them. He said, don't even take your clothes. He said, the clothes, the garments that you have in that place, leave it. Say, run. Said, where is it now? And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And I don't care too much what the gainsayers will say about this interpretation of the word, because all I'm caring about is that my interpretation is coming from the Lord. Those of you who give in suck, taking life out of your being to support life in somebody else, those pastors, God said, woe unto them. Woe unto those of you who put yourself in the position of Jesus Christ in a congregation. Hallelujah. Give suck. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Just pray that you're not going to be running when you are so cold, when everything is dead, when all life is coming out of your earth, when it is winter time in your soul. Then, hallelujah, shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Brethren, I say, prepare for the tribulation. The carnal man will prepare carnal food, will store up canned goods. The spiritual man will prepare spiritually. But there is a certain amount of spiritual fortitude which is necessary to take you through. And there is a certain amount of natural, whatever it takes to take you through. Because God's going to want you in a special place when that tribulation breaks. Honestly, I don't think God wants you in the middle of Chicago. You believe me, I don't think God wants you in the middle of Chicago. I don't think God wants you in the middle of some of the cities. I hear from God, and I'm saying as a word of the Lord that God is not going to have it want his obedient children in the cities. For the scripture says that the cities will be on fire. Do you remember that scripture? Okay, let's find it. You take the 22nd chapter of Matthew, and we're going to find it somewhere else too. We haven't reached the 25th yet. We're backing up. Verse 7. Somebody read that for me.
But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and sent full of his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city.
Yes, he destroyed the murderers, and he burned up their city. This is not the only scripture that refers to burning up the city. But if you remember the scripture we read from the third chapter of 2 Peter, and it said there'd be flaming fire taking vengeance on who? Them that know not God. See what I mean? So, at that time, I do not want to be among them. And it does not matter. It does not matter whether someone is going to say I'm carnal or not. Oh, God will take care of me. Yeah, God's going to take care of me because God's going to tell me what to do and I'm going to obey. Amen. If God's going to drop fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't think I want to be there. Amen. No, sir. I don't want to be in the midst of San Francisco when God's taking vengeance upon the sinners. I don't want to be in the midst of Chicago and New York and those places. Therefore, I believe in my heart that God's going to be preparing places for his people to go and that God's going to tell them. And I don't believe that people should go running about getting places for themselves until and unless God tell you. And I believe that the people who are listening to God is going to speak to all of us at the same time. We're going to just start hearing the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is there. And now we go to Matthew chapter 25. And you ask, when is this thing going to happen? Remember, he give us one sign. And the sign says, when you see. Now that means that God is going to allow us to observe it and to see it. Are we there? He said, when you see the abomination, the rebellion, and if you look carefully at the word of God about the abomination standing up in the holy place, you'll see that the abomination is not only a spirit of rebellion, but it is a man of rebellion. Huh? Let's turn to it. 2 Thessalonians. Yes, 2 Thessalonians. You see, that translation, Sister Addie, it did not really say the man of sin. It said lawlessness, the lawless one. And Brother Chadwick, you want to find that for me in the Greek? He said there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he said very, very clearly that he is going to stand up in the church showing himself to be God. Yes. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Remember, we are thinking about now the coming of Jesus Christ. And the coming that we are involved with is the secret coming. Are you fully convinced that then it's a secret coming that's going to come before? This is why some people preach a mid-tribulation coming of Jesus. But we are going to show you why from the scriptures. Anyhow, let's deal with this first. Where is he coming? Where is the Antichrist coming? Because we have to see the Antichrist first. See, now, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away. Now, I circle that word falling away, because read that Greek for me, brother. What it says, what we must see first.
Because unless come the apostasy.
The apostasy. Now, an apostasy is not a falling away. If you anybody has the you have the Thompson chain, what do you have? Look in your margin if you have any notes and tell me how many Bibles here have apostasy in your margin. Yes, you got it. And what kind of Bible is that? The Scofield. And he has apostasy. And anybody else? My Bible is a Thompson chain reference and it has apostasy. Yes. Okay. And the Greek says apostasia. Right? Okay. So it is when you shall see, there will be a falling away first. And the man of sin will be revealed, the son of Satan.
Well, that says son of
perdition. Lend me that Greek, brother. Let me see what it says. The word that is used for perdition here.
It's something like a polio, isn't it?
Yes. And lawless one. Lawless, the son of perdition. Apolyeis. Apolyeis. And that's the same word that use Apollyon is the devil and the destroyer. Can I circle it for you, brother? You see, it's the destroyer. See, the devil is called a destroyer in some places. That's one of his names. So the son of the destroyer. Okay, the wrecking crew, huh, is coming. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, capital G, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And this is all capital G. Now, we see the temple of God as the church. We see the temple of God as a human being. So we see rebellion come into the holy place, church. So that the people, and basically, the rebellion God's talking about is the rebellion against God. That says, I do not want you to be Lord over me. I want another Lord. And if you look at the churches, you will see the basic wrong that all the churches have is the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not Lord. See, Jesus is Lord. I don't even like to see it written there, because some people have it as their banner. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is not Lord. Everything else is number one, and Jesus come way down the line with them. When you make Jesus Lord, then immediately you are in the body of Christ inside, for he's your head. See, and a thing cannot be your head unless it's inside of the body. See, so if you notice then, he opposed and exalted himself, and it is in the temple of God. So the spirit of lawlessness or the spirit of rebellion is in the people, and the people get themselves a king, and the king is the king of their rebellion. Now we go down, and it speaks in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity had already started to work in AD 70 when Paul was writing this. The only different is that the man, he who now let it, pardon me, the Holy Ghost who now let it, is letting until the man rises up and be revealed, until he be taken out of the way, which is a wrong translation, until ek mesu genete, he be birthed in the midst. See? Okay. To prove that my translation is right, read verse 8. Somebody read verse 8 for me.
And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming.
Okay. So you see then, the wicked one will be revealed just before the coming of the Lord, and he will take over the churches, because the Bible said he will stand up in the holy place, take charge over the holy place. And you want another one? He'll take charge of the holy place church. Now the three churches we're thinking of, the holy place church, it would be the church where the gifts are working. Now let us look actually at that. Do we see any movement like that among the Pentecostal church? Right now, the Pentecostal church is coming into agreement with the Pope to be the head and to take over and be the head of all ecumenical churches in the world. The Pope is saying, or the man who called himself the Pope, he's not my Pope, but he's saying that he is the spiritual Papa, our Father of the world, and that Jesus Christ abdicated and gave him the position as Christ. And you ask me, sis, where did he say that? Because everybody should know. He said he is the vicar of Christ. Did you ever hear that? Well, the vicar means the vice Christ. And the vice Christ means that since Jesus Christ is absent, he is Christ. And they claim that this is the position that Peter gave it to him. And it is doubtful whether Peter ever went to Rome. Very doubtful whether Peter ever went to Rome. As a matter of fact, it has never been recorded in Scripture. It's only Paul that we know went to Rome and died in Rome. Praise be to God. Now, that being so, we can clearly see where the thing is going. Then if you read the next verse, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So whoever is this Antichrist man, he's going to have miracles working with him. Okay? We have seen some of that, but we're not going into it. God says we will see. Okay? So we go to chapter 25 of Matthew. And we see God giving another picture of his coming, of the coming of Jesus Christ as a bridegroom. And the bridegroom goes into the bride chamber, and there were 10 virgins waiting before midnight. There were 10 virgins waiting, but at midnight there were only 5, because 5 were unprepared. 5 were unprepared. Now the foolish virgins are being prepared by a foolish ministry. Did you hear me, brethren? The foolish virgins are being prepared by a foolish ministry. And a foolish ministry is a ministry that is doing its own thing and not following under the headship of Jesus Christ. The wise ministry is the ministry that is under the headship of Jesus Christ and is in the body of Christ. But the whole thing's going to prove out at midnight. And we need to see to it that these words that are on this dead page come into our hearts. And that when it come into our hearts, it come out of us. And we live it out. Every word of God that you read and believe, walk in it. Oh, so long ago, so many people believed so many things and preached and become great and puffed up and we're apostles and whatever else, and nobody walked in it. They forgot to walk in it. I've seen wholesale deaths, crashes, destruction, killing, divorces, all manner of evil break out in the midst because they were preaching and they were not walking in what they were preaching. Let's begin to walk. If we say we love one another, let's prove it. Let's prove it. Yes. Let's prove it that taking out our last, that we haven't given one another who needs it. Let's prove it by being one people before God. God will wake you up in the middle of the night and say, call sister so-and-so. She's in trouble. You call her and surely she's in trouble.